Our reading for Wednesday, August 12th, is going to come from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So chapter 10 is really a continuation from chapter 9. Chapter 9, remember, he started out saying, verse 3, I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. So chapter 9, he talked about how strong his desire was for them to be saved, so much so he would make that statement, I wish that I could be accursed if it meant they would be saved. So when he gets to chapter 10, he reiterates this and says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. And verse 2, he explains their current religious condition when he says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And I think that same description could be used for a lot of people still today. There are people that will be very zealous, you know, claiming to love God and love Christ and be complete believers, but they don't put the time necessary in order to study the Word to really come to a point of knowledge and understand righteousness itself and righteous living, godly living. They are content to be able to make a verbal confession, but not make a true change in their life, that transformation process that he's going to get to talking about in chapter 12 is not going to have its full effect. So verse 3, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, if you said that to one of the Jews who were unbelievers, I think they would probably argue with him to say, how can you say I'm ignorant of the righteousness of God? I'm a follower of the law. I'm a follower of the law of Moses. I know about God. Well, he's talking about more than just knowing commandments and knowing law. That's where he's getting to. He says they seek to establish their own righteousness. So they decided what was righteous on their own, which would be law-keeping, and even law-keeping according to the rabbis, rather than just strictly what Moses gave. And so they did not submit to God's righteousness. They were trying to develop their own system of righteousness. They were trying to be free from any guilt of sin purely on the basis of a perfect law keeping, which you and I understand that that's not possible. You can't perfectly keep the law. We just cannot condition or control ourselves in a way in which there is no possibility of ever making a mistake. Verse 4 sounds like it might be something new, but it's really a reiteration of previous statements. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So when we come to Christ, we become dead to sin, but not only that, the Jew became dead to the law because that old covenant is done away with and the new covenant comes into effect, and then they become part of that new covenant if they are believers and they submit to the will of God. So that justification comes and that righteousness comes through Christ and the grace and mercy of God rather than perfect law keeping. Continuing on in verse 5, he says, Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. So, keeping the commandments of the law is not a matter of faith, but just a matter of keeping points of the law. But righteousness based on faith in Christ Jesus, that is what is truly important. You have to have a point of faith in which you trust that you received the forgiveness from God through Christ Jesus. And that faith then is what will motivate one to be obedient to those things that, yes, would be counted as law, but not the law as in the law of Moses, but law in general from God, those things that he expects of us, which we would call walking in the light or walking according to his will. Now, this idea of ascending into heaven or descending into the abyss, the point is that the law was not in heaven, that one had to go there and bring it back. And then Paul said, neither was the message of Christ so unattainable and that Christ had to be brought up from the dead in order to have it either. Neither is true. You don't have to go to heaven to get it, and you don't have to go to the abyss to get it. But it is there. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. He's making a correlation between the law of Moses and that which we have under Christ. And he's really just saying, you know, the law was plain and it was there and it was available. And so you had no excuse not to keep it. But the same is true of the message of Christ, too. It's there, it's plain, it's evident, it's available. You don't have any excuse. Then we get to verses 9 and 10, which are so often quoted to support false doctrines in the world. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What we need to understand when you have a discussion with someone based on these verses, when they pull them out, because they're usually used to support the idea of a sinner's prayer or just belief only, is that the Word of God is structured in such a way that you have to search through it in order to find the whole entirety of the gospel. You can't pick two verses out of Romans chapter 10 and say, now I've got the gospel of Jesus. No, that's not adequate. We have to search the whole counsel of God. When we look at just a couple of verses out of one chapter, we're only seeing one portion because the author is only writing to deal with one part or one piece of, in the case of Paul with Romans, he's correcting some ideas. And so he's only addressing those ideas that needed to be corrected rather than trying to address in one spot the entirety of the gospel. But understand that when he says confession, he's talking about more than just words. I mean, if it was just words, everybody could say the words, but it wouldn't mean anything. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means that you confess that they are your Lord, that Jesus is your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's a lot more than just speaking or saying something. when he says in believe in your heart, he's talking about faith, faith that's part of a deep within us, deep part of the inner man, and believe that God raised him from the dead. You're talking about belief in the power of God, the reality of God. And so when Paul is making these points, this would be akin to saying, you know, calling upon the name of the Lord. That is, you are submitting to him and you are accepting his will and you are doing what he wants you to do. So this is obviously more than just a confession. And I have often said, confession is not just about words. It's about action. You know, prove that you truly believe that Jesus is Lord by living according to his will and being obedient to him. And I don't really want to make this today's reading about, you know, these particular false ideas, but understand that Paul is talking about righteousness based on faith, and that faith is required, and that it has to come from deep within one man, not just, you know, something that is something we speak and we're done with it. The scripture says, verse 11, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Then verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. So everyone has the availability, whether you're Jew or you're Greek, whether you're devout Pharisee, or maybe you're an out-of-service Jew, if you could put it that way. The idea is that everyone has the availability to come to him in faith and walk according to righteousness of faith. Verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe if they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. All Paul is doing is just going into the process that God has used throughout time for reaching man, you know, whether it's under the Old Testament with the prophets or it's under the New Testament with evangelists and apostles. The fact is that God uses or sends men to go preach the gospel unto others. And again, the gospel is available to everyone. It's not being hidden. It's not being kept away. It's not unobtainable. So it's there for all to hear, and it's there for all to have available to them. So verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what he has heard from us. Isaiah is expressing some disappointment there in that particular quote. And I think Paul identifies with that sentiment, since he's talking about his countrymen that he so greatly desires for them to be saved, but that they won't yield themselves over to the gospel. They won't yield themselves to the Lord. And of course, we're familiar with verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You can't develop any faith without hearing the message, and the message has to be proclaimed, as he stated in these previous verses. Verse 18, I ask, have they not heard? Yes, they have. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, and with a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. So there's a couple of things that Paul's communicating in these verses. First is, have they not heard or have the opportunity to hear the gospel? Yes, indeed they have. The voice has gone out into the earth. But he says, did Israel not understand? And first you might think, did they not understand the gospel? But really what he's saying here is, did they not understand that this would be available to the Gentiles? And so he's saying, or quoting from Moses, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. That jealousy over them being welcomed into the house of God. Then Isaiah, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. I think the basis of what Paul is trying to get across there is, you know, for so long the Gentiles were excluded under the old covenant and maybe even didn't care to know anything about Jehovah. I think some did, but many did not. Most probably did not. But here he is under this new covenant, making himself available to them, making himself known to them. And so, you know, Paul and others went about preaching the gospel to people that didn't call for him, didn't ask for him to come, but they did hear it nonetheless, and some of them did actually believe. Verse 21, but of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Holding out hands is the idea of offering the salvation, offering the help. And so what is their response? To be disobedient and to be contrary. You might be reading from an older version that says a gainsaying people, people that contradict what's being presented. So Paul is bringing an indictment upon his people, and he's using their own prophets to bring that indictment, so that if they are unbelievers only willing to listen to the old scriptures, then the old scriptures would then condemn them. And of course, the old scriptures were a tutor to bring us to Christ as well. That concludes chapter 10 for today. Please come back tomorrow as we look at chapter 11. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.